Yeah, I'm glad I'm not out there. All right, several weeks ago, we were going through the Gospel of Mark, and you remember that the first time Jesus and his disciples, actually his disciples, he told them, you give them something to eat. He and his disciples fed a multitude. Little quiz here. How many people did they feed? Anybody? Do I hear six? All right, somebody had it. 5,000 men plus women and children. Okay, 5,000 men. How many loaves did they start with? Anybody remember how many loaves of bread they started with? Tom? Five. 5,000 with five loaves. Very good. All right. Here you go. How many baskets of food did they have left over at the end? 12. Who are you cheating over there? We just got our Bible out. All right. After that, he sends his disciples out in the boat. He stays there. He gets up in the mountain and he goes and prays. He sends his disciples out in the boat. While they're crossing the sea to go to this other place, a strong windstorm stirs up on the sea. Waves start to blow. Wind is blowing. The boat is getting battered. It's being blown out into the middle of the sea. They're straining against the oars all night. And right in the middle of the storm, they see something strange. What did they see? Jesus walking on the water. Exactly, Jenny. They thought it was a ghost. Saw this strange sight. Who is that? Now, who gets out of the boat? Peter. Awesome. You guys are really good. Take it a step further. What happens when Jesus gets back in the boat? What's that? He turned the boat over? What? Calms the sea. The wind ceases. He and I guess Peter too. I guess he got back in the boat. Gets back in the boat. It doesn't say, but I assume, you know. Unless he's like hanging on the back like Joan was that day and Laura. Gets back in the boat. The wind and the storm stops. Praise God. Now at that point, the Bible makes a very interesting, thought-provoking statement. Are you ready to have your thoughts provoked? All right. It says in Mark 6:51, it says, "Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened." Now, the last time I checked, people don't walk on water. A lot of people think they do, but they don't. So personally, I would be kind of freaked out if I was in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night, and saw somebody walking across the tops of the water. I would, and even then to realize it was somebody that I knew and loved, I would be very amazed. I would be freaked out by this. How many people would be freaked out by that? Are you sure? Okay, because it says here, the reason they were freaked out, it was because they had not learned from something that happened before. In other words, there was something they were supposed to pick up and understand about what happened with the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. It was actually a sign. Their amazement was a sign that they hadn't learned something. They missed something that they were supposed to get. Now, it was great that they experienced that feeding of the 5,000. I'm sure they were thrilled. I'm sure they looked back and said, man, wasn't that cool? Man, I was just giving out the bread and it just kept coming. I was giving it right and left and it never ran out. They were pretty excited. But it wasn't enough simply to look back and say, wasn't that cool, like we did this morning. That's good. We want to do that. But there's something more, something they missed, something they did not learn they were supposed to learn. There was something that was supposed to transform them, that was supposed to change them when the multitude was fed. It was supposed to soften their hearts and give them an understanding that they could use in the future. But they had not learned. They had not been transformed. Everybody say, Yeah, I'm glad you're picking up on that. Yeah. All right, let's go a little bit further. Let's see what happens next. Let's see if at some point the light goes on. Mark chapter 8, a couple chapters later. It says, in those days, this is another feeding, in those days the multitude being very great, this is in another place, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they've now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? They just got done, 2 chapters ago, feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. We're talking in the neighborhood of potentially 20,000 people. With how many loaves? 5 loaves and a couple of fish. So the couple of chapters now, in a different place, different city, different time, they're in this place and there's 4,000 men plus women and children with them. Jesus said, man, you know, these guys have been with me a long time. I know they're hungry. I don't dare send them away. They might faint on the way because they haven't had anything to eat. And his disciples said, well, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Can you almost see the expression on Jesus' face? Thank you. Who said that? Yeah. Can you imagine his heart just sinking at those words? Gee, I don't know. I guess maybe we'll have to form a committee and brainstorm. That'll work. That always works. We'll have meetings. We'll brainstorm. So verse 5. No, actually, he was very gracious. He was so tender. Isn't it good that God is so patient with us when we ought to learn? And he is so gracious. Verse 5, he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit on the ground. He took the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, he broke them, and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets. Of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. He sent them away, immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Now, almost identical situation to the first. A little bit different city, a little bit different time. And Jesus, being the great teacher that he is, he just sets up this opportunity for them. Sets it right up. It's perfectly laid out. He hands the ball to them. And what does the disciples do? They fumble on their own 20. It's pathetic. You know, the whole crowd is going, oh. Well, at least maybe not that crowd, but the onlookers in heaven were just like, no, you didn't. They're angels that were guarding them and protecting them. They were like, no, they didn't say that. No, they didn't. Now, okay. You know, I don't want to throw stones because I'm a little slow myself. You know, I have to go around the barn many times before the light goes on in my head. So I'll give them some grace. Okay, maybe they were a little slow to the first time around when it said their hearts were hard and they didn't understand. Maybe they were a little slow to correlate food with surfing, you know, especially without a surfboard. Maybe the two just didn't click in their minds. Okay, I'll give them grace there. Maybe the second time around, maybe they just didn't think lightning could strike twice in the same place. They were kind of like, well, yeah, he did that then, but I don't think he'll do it now. I mean, aren't we like that sometimes? So I'll give them grace. But they leave that place. They go to a place called Dalmanutha, and let's see if they've learned anything yet. Okay? Yeah, Shiloh's so confident. Yeah, she's like, eh. You know these guys. Mark 8:11. They go to this place called Dalmanutha. Then the Pharisees, these religious, you know, legalists, the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and he said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them. And getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. I guess they left the 12 large baskets there. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It's because we have no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason? Because you have no bread. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. "And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. So he said to them, "How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you don't get it? The light still has not come on. How is it after all of that?" So they fed 5,000 with 5 loaves. They fed 4,000 with 7 loaves. How many people, Jesus and his disciples, how many people were there to be fed in the boat? 12 disciples, 1 Jesus, 13. Okay? 5,000 with 5 loaves, 4,000 with 7 loaves in the boat, 13. One loaf. That should count for something. Had they learned anything yet? Not a thing. After all of that, they had not learned something. They were grateful. They were glad they experienced it. They thought it was cool. Man, that so rocked when we were feeding that multitude. It was great that they looked back with joy, but they had not taken something from that. They hadn't learned something. And I believe it was this, that the same God who miraculously fed the multitudes in the past would also provide for them in the present by the same power. Let me say that again. The same God who miraculously fed the multitudes in the past would also provide for them now in the present by the same power. It's what they needed to take from all of those things. It's what we need to take. Now it's all tied up in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's what I mean. The kingdom of God had come in the person of Jesus Christ. When he took on flesh and blood, and when he walked the earth, and God anointed him and crowned him with the Holy Spirit, he was walking as the embodiment of the kingdom of God upon the earth. But they didn't recognize him in that way, and so they did not realize all the things God wanted to do through Jesus, because of the kingdom of God that he represented. They didn't see what God wanted to do in him. And when we are in Christ, when we are in that kingdom, and we carry that kingdom into the world, in us, on us, we sometimes don't realize all that God wants to do through Christ, through the kingdom of God that we are now a vital part of. We are, as he was in this world, so are we. And they didn't recognize that God was able to transform. Because God was able to do all those things in the past, he's the same God, the same power, same dynamic. That every miracle that Jesus did, every miracle that his disciples did, and his disciples were doing these, was not only meant to provide a blessing to that immediate situation that was there at that moment back then, but was also to transform their perspective about God's ability to provide for future situations.